You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the game preview episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. We'll be previewing the Broncos-Texans matchup this Sunday at Broncos Stadium, Mile High, 2:25 p.m. kickoff. That is if you were in the Mountain Standard Time show. Big game. And I don't like to kind of sugarcoat anything. It's a big game for many reasons we'll talk about here in today's episode of the show. Today's episode of Locked On Broncos is brought to you by our good friends over there at Swap.com. We'll tell you a little bit more about them in just a minute. I'm your host, Adam Schefter. I'm joking. It's your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the National Football League, as well as a columnist over at PredominantlyOrange.com. I just did a piece this week over at PredominantlyOrange.com talking about Chris Harris Jr. epitomizing what it means to display grit week in and week out for the team. Go check that out over there, as well as Cameron's articles and the great staff over there, PredominantlyOrange.com. You can shoot me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL.
And I am Cameron Parker, and you guys can follow me at Twitter at Cameron Parker PO. And yeah, Cody, you know, you and I preached about it. I believe it was on that post game show when we talked about the game balls between Chris Harris and Philip Lindsay. It's very fascinating how those two are very similar in how they are in demeanors. And, you know, we'll see if it carries over into this Houston Texans game on Sunday.
Absolutely, and we have a whole preview for you. Segment number one of today's show, some Broncos news from today. Obviously, some cool accolades for Bradley Chubb, as well as the Broncos getting somebody back defensively this week, and that might be a big key to the game. Segment number two, we're going to talk about the Broncos offense against the Texans defense. Cameron and I are going to pick out a matchup. What matchup are we looking forward to seeing the most from this side of the ball and their side of the ball? And then segment number three, we're going to pick a defensive matchup against the Houston Texans offense. We're going to talk about it, and then we're going to close out the show here. Obviously, have a great week. We're going to have you covered with the post-game report following Broncos-Texans game on Sunday here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. In the meantime, I really want to encourage you guys, before we get into everything, to go check out Adam Mattes and Locked On Nuggets. The Nuggets, very, very good start to the season. Adam Mattes just did an episode. They went and they played Cleveland. They won big in Cleveland this evening. He did an episode yesterday about the new reveal for the Nuggets, the city, the skyline jerseys. They've revamped them, and they look forward to unleashing them the first game, November 13th, against the Houston Rockets. Ironically, Houston-Denver matchup in that game as well. They're going to reveal the jerseys. Players are going to wear it. Very good. The Nuggets doing a lot of good things. Colorado sports take pride as well. So, Cam, let's get it right into it here. So, obviously, news of the day for the Broncos. Broncos rookie defensive end, outside linebacker, pass rusher. He is a jack-of-all-trades. Bradley Chubb was named the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Month. And well-deserving, Cam, because guess what? In the month of October, he came alive. September was a slow start for him in the regular season, but October was a big month for Bradley Chubb, racking up 5.5 sacks. Unbelievable. He really came into his own against the Los Angeles Rams, getting to Jared Goff. He sacked him 3 times. And then when the Broncos and the Cardinals played on Thursday Night Football, he had 2 sacks on Josh Rosen. Him and Von Miller, opposite of one another, have absolutely wrecked havoc. Now, a really cool note here, Cam, is that Bradley Chubb, he is the first rookie since Aldon Smith to record at least 5.5 sacks in just a 3-game span. So, you know, let's take a look at this real quick. Do you think, Cam, it's because you have Von Miller opposite of him, or are we starting to see what the Broncos and what Broncos fans have had as the expectation for Bradley Chubb and Von Miller being on the field at the same time on opposite sides?
It's both. I mean, really, to keep it simple, it's both. I mean, we know that competition breeds success for a lot of reasons. I mean, Von Miller, he's a bona fide Hall of Fame superstar. And when you have that type of talent around you, it's going to make you yourself better as a football player. And we saw it with DeMarcus Ware on the reverse side when when Von Miller was now reaching that point in his career once again. It's just it when you have that domino effect, it affects everything you are as a pass rusher, or in this case, a pass rusher. And when you think about it, it really was that Rams game. They lost, and no player likes the L on their record. And even as a team is concerned, no one likes the L on their record. But we look back at that game, and it was that was the coming out party for both of them as a unit, and in particular Bradley Chubb. And he went on an absolute tear: 5.5 sacks, 16 tackles, 13 pressures, 8 quarterback hits, and 1 forced fumble. Nikki Javala did an article talking to Bradley Chubb and Von Miller about the art of strip sacking quarterback, and you know that's certainly one trait that I think is honestly going unnoticed about Bradley Chubb's game. Is you know, people always talk about him dropping into coverage every once in a while or rushing the quarterback, obviously. But, you know, when you have Von Miller, who certainly learned from a pretty good one when he was with the Denver Broncos in Elvis Dumervil, you know, we saw certainly how successful he was. So Von learned early on the art of strip sacking a quarterback. You're starting to see Bradley Chubb see some of those traits where there's some of those times where you know for a fact you're going to sack a quarterback. So why not do the whole, you know, double jeopardy and get the strip sack along with the fumble along with a sack. So, you know, I think that's certainly a trait. But, you know, to answer the actual question, though, it's a double jeopardy thing. It's Von Miller. And it's also Bradley Chubb also, you know, reaping the benefit of actually being that number 5 pick. And for those people that are out there, and I know that they've been out there saying that, you know, where was Bradley Chubb? He's here.
Yeah, I like that. He is here. And I think lost in all the madness of just the 3-5 season for the Broncos right now is, you know, Bradley Chubb is learning as well, not only just from Von Miller, but still from DeMarcus Ware, who's more so behind the scenes, more so than he was originally in the summer. You know, he's still there. He's at practice. We don't hear about it a lot because he isn't that guy that's taking the spotlight. And rightfully so, he's passing on his knowledge, his mentorship. And you've noticed that with the Broncos pass rush. I mean, go back to this past week against the Kansas City Chiefs. I thought Von Miller and Bradley Chubb did a phenomenal job. I mean, Bradley Chubb on that first drive got there early to Patrick Mahomes and really in space when Mahomes tried to get to the outside. Chubb was there and he brought him down kind of awkwardly. So, you know, I think Bradley Chubb continues to evolve. Now, Cam, I'm going to make a bold prediction and say if he can at least get to maybe 11 or 12 sacks as a rookie, I don't know if it would be possible. I don't know if there's anybody out there in the NFL right now, regardless at the position. I think obviously a pass rush alone, I think he has a great chance to win NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year if he continues to go at the pace he's going. That's getting to the quarterback once or twice a game. And I think that is very, very realistic, and I'd love to talk more about that. But for the sake of time in our game preview show, we got to transition to the next thought. And Cam, there hasn't been a lot of talk on it, and I know you're going to be happy about this, and we'll talk about this before we jump into segment two, looking at the Texans offense and the Broncos defense. I think overall, Cam, the getting a guy back like Sua Cravens, we're going to see a little bit of things that we were kind of hoping for maybe in the offseason. We might get to see if Sua Cravens is the guy that the Broncos brought in that can be a difference maker on defense. Now, granted, he will have some rust. He hasn't played since that week 4 preseason finale against the Cardinals. But he came out on Twitter and he said, you know, he's got to boom somebody. He's got to blast somebody. Now, you got to be careful there. You don't want to, you know, get a penalty and get that envelope in your locker on Wednesday when you return to practice. That's not something you want to do. But the big test is with Darian Stewart's injury, you have Will Parks obviously starting at safety opposite of Justin Simmons. We're going to see in more dime packages, we're going to see Sua Cravens, who will play in the box, and we could see a combination of him and Josie Jewell. And I think that on paper right now, let's see how it goes in the game. I think that's a good matchup on paper.
It's a fascinating matchup because as we've documented all off season with Sua Cravens is basically the ultimate Swiss Army knife defensive player for the Denver Broncos. I mean, we talk as far as the Swiss Army knife that Chris Harris is as a corner, you know, the ability to cover the outside and the slot receiver. But I mean, Sua Cravens, as far as the new age NFL and, you know, players that are in the box, players that can cover tight ends and running backs and wide receivers, that's Sua Cravens. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is Sua Cravens to a nutshell, and it's been well documented that the Denver Broncos' missing piece or missing link to this defense has been the last few years covering tight ends. And we'll see if that is going to be solved, because you don't want a guy like a Jordan Akins, who is very, very underrated as just a wide receiving threat. He did that ever so successfully at UCF. So, you don't want those guys to get behind you. And I think for Stuart Cravens, there will be some rust. There will be that rust. But I think I'm okay, Cody, and this is kind of that really interesting scenario. We always talk about tone setters, those tone setters in football, and maybe it's just not there in the NFL anymore nowadays, but I'm okay if, it depends certainly on the situation, obviously, and what happens, but I'm perfectly fine if, say, on a run play and he's blasting it about 95 miles an hour and he's laying a boom on a running back and it's a blow to the head or something, but it sets the tone, I think, for an entire game. I'm okay with something like that in this instance, because he hasn't seen the field yet in over, I believe it's been 8 or 9 games. So we're at that point, and where I think he himself said it, that he wants to set the tone, at least for himself. So I think that is definitely a great sign for a Denver Broncos defense, that they need to find that setting the tone mentality every single time they come out on a defensive series.
Yeah, and that's going to be very huge, and we'll analyze it here coming up. Segment number two, which person stands out on the Texans defense against this Broncos offense? We'll get into segment three here in a little bit, where the Broncos defense will go up against the Texans offense. Which matchup makes the most sense? Which one are we going to talk about that can make an impact on the game? We'll have you covered in that. But before we get to that, let's talk about our sponsor of tonight's show, now Swap.com. It's crazy how much money we pay for new and brand name clothing. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place where you could just discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? And I'm talking clothes from some of your favorite brands, where you could receive 90% off retail price of brands like Nike, J. Crew, Gap, and even Carter's. They're very quality, hand-inspected items. They're added daily to the inventory on Swap.com. Swap.com is the largest online consignment and thrift store at the access of your fingertips. If something doesn't fit, you can enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. And you also promote a very good cause, because every year over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted. So shopping secondhand at swap.com will help prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about as well. And you can stop driving store to store and trying to sift through racks, trying to find the right clothing for you. You can sift through millions of clothes in just seconds on swap.com with their easy to use filters to find just what you need. And if you're a listener of Locked On Broncos or the Locked On Podcast Network, we have a very special offer for you. You can get 35% off select items of your first order by using promo code Locked On. That's one word, Locked On. Plus, you can find new deals every day on Swap.com's homepage. Check them out, Swap.com. All right, jumping into it, the Denver Broncos offense has their hands full against this Houston Texans defense for various reasons. When you look at some of the names on the Texans defense, you got J.J. Watt, Christian Covington, you have Jadeveon Clowney, you got Kareem Jackson, Tyron Matthew, Aaron Colvin, who was a stud for the Jacksonville Jaguars last season. You have a lot of matchups in this game. Now, I'm going to be frank with you here, Cam. I'm looking at this matchup, and I'm kind of looking at the Broncos tackles in this matchup against guys like Christian Covington, and more specifically, J.J. Watt, who's healthy. He's having a quietly very, very good year, under-the-radar year for the Texans. Now, I'm looking forward to seeing why. I don't know if I'm really looking forward to it. I'm kind of anxious looking forward to this matchup between J.J. Watt and guys like Garrett Bowles, or even a guy returning from injury who's probable in Jared Verdier. That's my key matchup. And here's why, Cam. We look at Garrett Bowles week in and week out. I know Broncos fans listening to this are going to understand what I'm saying here. I think everybody understands it. Garrett Bowles, he really, really struggles with his technique in pass pro. I think the Broncos, overall, their offensive line is not that good in pass pro, but they are great in run blocking. So if the Broncos can come out and establish the run and really stretch plays too, where you're going to have to see guys like Garrett Bowles try to hook guys like J.J. Watt or Jadeveon Clowney, or even guys guys like Whitney Mercilus or Christian Covington off the edge. They have to be able to hook them and turn them to be able to allow Phillip Lindsay to hit the outside of stretch plays or even tosses or counter plays. And you're going to see a little bit more inside stuff if he's healthy with Royce Freeman, but Devontae Booker as well. The run game can be effective. It has been for the Broncos, but the matchup I'm worried about is in the pass pro game. You got J.J. Watt coming at Garrett Bowles. Garrett Bowles leads the NFL in holds, as well as, I think, giving up sacks. And that's not a very good thing for a guy the Broncos invested a lot in the first round of the 2016 NFL draft. That, to me, is highly worrisome in this matchup. Based on what we've seen, they got to eliminate penalties. The Broncos offensive line, mostly, it's Garrett Bowles getting them penalties.
I mean, it starts and ends with that. I mean, that has to be the matchup of the game. And, you know, it's hard to piggyback off of anything that you said, because I 100% agree with it, because Garrett Bowles leads the entire team in penalties. Garrett Bowles he's been a problem when it comes to pass blocking. Now, I don't know, in essence, if that's just because they haven't established an identity, and maybe that's to, in some ways, a support of Garrett Bowles and to where he is right now. And that's not a pro to say, you know, that Garrett Bowles is, you know, and that we still need to give him some time, and maybe we do. But I think that at least has something to do with it, is the fact that the Broncos don't have any identity, or at least have shown a competence to put through a game plan as far as that identity is concerned with the running game. And if they can be consistent with their strength and run the football consistently and pound the football, you know, if you look at it, they need to pound the football as often as they can, 25, 30 times a football game with Devontae Booker, obviously Phillip Lindsay, and maybe Royce Freeman, if he can go. He was limited today, actually mainly limited today in practice. Well, we'll see if they can maintain that. We saw an edge to Bill Musgrave today that you know, we've certainly seen a few times this year, but he's got to fulfill the game plan. And it starts and ends with, you know, creating that confidence, that raging, I guess, mentality of as an offensive line. You and I both know that offensive lines are at their best when they are run blocking, because that's what they are geared to do mostly. I mean, you very rarely do you see a tackle that is, it's kind of like a quarterback in a way, Cody. I mean, you know it better than I do. You know, they describe quarterbacks as pass first quarterbacks or run first quarterbacks. I think offensive lines obviously are a little bit switched in that regard. You get run blocking offensive linemen versus pass first pass blockers. So I think in some ways, you know, the Broncos are now geared to being run blockers, designated mostly to run blockers, because if they turn into pass blockers, their technique goes out the window. And that, because therein lies the situation of, you know, that if there's a massive screenplay or something then is happens, or that happens with Phillip Lindsay or Devontae Booker, mostly with Phillip Lindsay, there's going to be a holding penalty.
Well, so I don't know if you had a chance to, you know, if any of you guys had a chance to catch out, go on my Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. I retweeted it, shared it from my good friend over there at BSN, Ryan Konigsberg. I don't know if any of you guys caught Bill Musgrave's press conference today, but you know, he was asked, you know, you guys' strength, obviously you lead the league in terms of rushing and things like that, rush yards per attempt or something along those lines. You guys look to run the ball more, and he goes, I second that motion. I effing second that motion. Caught it live, F-bomb and everything. I like that, but you know, it makes you wonder, Cam, for the Broncos offensive side of the ball, we know Bill Musgrave is the coordinator, but is there other input that's going on? It makes me wonder, because if he says we want to run the ball more, wonder if there's some other chess pieces in play that are not allowing Bill Musgrave to fully that. We've seen that this year defensively. You have Vance Joseph, Joe Woods, and Reggie Heron calling plays earlier in the year. Are there too many chefs in the kitchen for the Broncos offensive side?
I've wondered that. I've actually wondered that, because it actually started when, remember, Cody, when we went through that whole training wheels discussion? Yeah. With Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, when Bill Musgrave said exactly the right thing. It's time. It's time to take the training wheels off of Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay. And then you had Vance Joseph basically say that no, I don't think he's saying that the reps need to increase. I just think that he's saying that the, you know, as far as the talent level of the players, I'm like, where are you getting that from? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not trying to say that head coaching is an issue, but what I'm saying is that there is some sort of disconnect, whether it's Vance Joseph and Bill Musgrave or even Case Keenum audibling out of running plays, or maybe audibling into run plays that should not even be run plays.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's that certain narrative that I think is obviously underrated in all of that.
And you have Coach Sullivan, too, the quarterback's coach with Case Keenum. You have to wonder, and this is stuff we'll probably never know unless there's, like, some sort of craziness that happens, like, with the Browns and obviously, you know, Coach Hugh and, you know, I think, what's his name, Coach Todd Haley over there, and their whole entire differences that they had, you can almost sense a little bit with how things go, there might be this tension against the head coach. This is all just perception. Like I said, this is my perception. I'm not saying there's anything concrete to this, but my perception is that based on just interviewing Bill Musgrave, listening to Bill Musgrave talk every week to the media to talk about game plans and everything like that, it sounds like he knows the strength of this team is in running the football. However, you have to wonder, is it the quarterback's coach? Is it, you know, Vance Joseph that's saying, we need to attack this matchup? It looks like it's something there, but we're just not seeing it. I don't know what it is. This is all just speculation. I hate speculating. We're just wondering. We're just trying to find things to talk about here and trying to figure out, is this something that's happening? Because perception is something. If we're all seeing it and we're all thinking it, there's a reason why. So I say, you know, follow the signs there. But yeah, that'll do it here for segment two. We talked about the Broncos offense against the Texans defense. Obviously, some key players to look for. Jadeveon Clowney at outside backer. Tyrann Mathieu, who has a tendency of being very deceptive. Case Keenum has struggled a little bit against some of these free safety, strong safety, hybrid type players this year in terms of throwing interceptions to him. You have, you know, J.J. Watt. You have Whitney Mercilus as well. Zach Cunningham at inside linebacker. And Christian Covington. Some very solid players on this Texans defense. And a lot of people aren't talking about the Texans' 5-game win streak after starting off 0-3. So a little bit of worry here. Coming up, segment number 3, our final segment of tonight's game preview. We're going to look at the Broncos defense and the Texans offense. Which matchup are we picking? Are we talking about? I know I've got mine. I don't know what Cam's is, but I'm looking forward to Cameron sharing it. We'll talk about that in just a few moments on the Locked On Broncos podcast. But if you're listening to this podcast right now and your company is looking for new ways to reach customers, your company could be mentioned right here, right now on the Locked On Broncos podcast. Science has proven podcast listeners, due to demographics, are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors they hear on the podcast that they listen to. I'm the same way. I don't know about you, but I like to check out what podcasts I listen to, what their sponsors are, their product, and what they can offer me. And our demographic over here at Lockdown Broncos is a 98% male audience, and they have a little bit more education and earning, more so than most traditional media audiences. So you can have your company reach a big, diverse group of people that might have the experience to take your product, your company to the next level, or obviously increase your buying. Email me at DenverBroncosLockedOn@gmail.com. All right, Cam, final segment of tonight's show. We're going to look at the Texans offense against the Broncos defense and which key matchup we look forward to the most. Now, things have changed. A lot has changed with this matchup due to the Demaryius Thomas trade to the Texans. DT will play in this game. He's going to be playing against the Broncos. You have to wonder with their weapons that they have. I see their wide receiving core. I'm a defensive back guy. I'm going to go with the wide receiver defensive backup matchup here. But thing is you have to worry about, I don't know what this matchup does now. If Demaryius Thomas wasn't on the Broncos, I would say you have Chris Harris Jr. matched up with DeAndre Hopkins. Hell, I think you still need to have Chris Harris Jr. on DeAndre Hopkins. I think you have to have Bradley Roby cover and Kiki Kuti as well as Demaryius Thomas. Those are the two guys you're going to see. I think it's going to be a little basic for DT, who's just learning the playbook. It's going to take some time, but they'll get him up to speed on certain things. I'm going to go with the key matchup being DeAndre Hopkins versus Chris Harris Jr. DeAndre Hopkins is a guy that right now that in the NFL defenses have tried to slow down, and they're not having a lot of success. He's making these athletic catches. He's finding himself. He's very fortunate, very athletic, very tall wide receiver. His athletic ability to be able to jump up and catch the ball is ridiculous. We talk about Courtland Sutton being a 50-50 jump ball guy. DeAndre Hopkins is not that tall necessarily to be a 50-50 guy. He's athletic enough to rise over guys and be a 50-50 guy. So this is a key matchup. Can Chris Harris Jr., who's having a hell of a year once again, can he be a guy that can slow down DeAndre Hopkins? That's going to be my thing. They're going to move Hopkins inside the slot on the outside. Chris Harris Jr. will be there. Cam, what is the key matchup for the Texans offense against the Broncos defense that you're looking forward to?
I think for me, it's two matchups, and I'll talk about my main positive matchup the most. But I think as far as a fan, I think it'll be very fitting if the first series we see Chris Harris on Demaryius Thomas. That would actually be gratifying and a really good show of respect if Demaryius Thomas is on, or Chris Harris is on Demaryius Thomas for that first series. That would actually be pretty cool if that particular matchup presented itself in the first series. And so we'll see ultimately what happens. I think, to your point, I think that Demaryius Thomas will probably see the benefit of him being draped with Bradley Roby for the majority of the game, or at least, between Isaac Yiadom and Chris Harris and Bradley Roby. But I think the majority of the matchup that I would love to see is to see the defensive rookie of the month make hay in the month of November. If he magically duplicates what happened in the month of November, he will have 11 sacks in 2 months. That's just insane to me. So if he ends up getting, and it's not out of the frame of mind, because the Houston Texans offensive line is not the best. It really isn't the best. I mean, they do a decent job with Deshaun Watson, but Deshaun Watson makes up for that because of his mobility and getting out of the pocket. So the Denver Broncos have to do what they've done with Patrick Mahomes, in times of where it's been successful, they have to keep Deshaun Watson in the pocket. And the best way to do that is to unleash every single pass rusher at their disposal, whether it is Shaquille Barrett and Shane Ray, and because Shane Ray might actually be active in this game for the first time. You just never know. So if they can have the plethora of pass rushers be unleashed in this home game and in a defensive matchup with in particular a familiar foe on the offensive side, it's sort of the human element, and I like to play the human element a lot of times. It's going to raise your level of play, I feel, as far as the defense. So even though the Bradley Roby's had a difficult game, I expect mentally he'll be there. He'll be there because he sees Demaryius Thomas on the other side. He wants to play up to his potential. He wants to play up to Demaryius Thomas's potential because he wants to play better. As far as Bradley Chubb is concerned, he wants to play like he deserves that defensive rookie of the month is concerned. So I think that as a defense, they need to just back it up. They need to just back it up. And so we'll see what happens. But we all know that Bradley Roby has not had the best year. We know that Bradley Roby has not had the best year. Yeah. But as far as the human element goes, you see Demaryius Thomas there on the other side of the field for the very first time. You want to make sure that, you pull your butt off.
Yeah, and Bradley Roby's going to have to do that. These guys went up against each other in, training camp, and it was fun kind of watching that matchup between these guys because, he got a lot of experience against Courtland Sutton, but he also had a ton of experience against Demaryius Thomas in practice. They know a little bit more about DT than a lot of people do. So when I look at this Broncos matchup and everything else, I think that familiarity could be a good thing in this matchup, and we're going to have to obviously wait and see how it plays out. But, you know, the Broncos, the Texans, they have kickoff this weekend, 2:25 p.m. Mountain Time kickoff at Broncos Stadium in Mile High. We'd like to thank our sponsor of tonight's show, Swap.com. Very interesting matchup. Check out the rest of the Lockdown Broncos podcast episodes from this week. We have your post-game report. We have your recap. And we have our Twitter Tuesday talk where we really just kind of analyze what's going on with the Broncos, and our Wednesday show. Very, very big. Obviously, the Demaryius trade rumor speculation from last week carried over. Demaryius Thomas traded this week. We have a full reaction show from Tuesday. And then Wednesday's episode of Lockdown Broncos podcast was a crossover with Locked On Texans. We get to hear a lot about the Texans side of the ball. What's going on there? Talk a little bit about the Bill O'Brien, Case Keenum history as well. Be sure to recap all that. Give us a like on iTunes. Subscribe and leave a review on the iTunes app if you guys have a chance. Leave us a 5-star rating. Tell us why you love the show. And we're trying to get to 100 by the end of the month. So very possible with you, the fans. Stay tuned. We got some Broncos coffee mugs and Broncos apparel will be given out. Stay tuned for that. Very excited about that. This Sunday at halftime of the Broncos game, I'm going to select one random Twitter follower that retweets and favorites the tweet that I'm going to post out, and they get it. So obviously stay tuned. Keep your eyes peeled for that at Cody Rourke NFL, at Lockdown Broncos, and for my co-host Cameron Parker, at Cameron Parker PO. That's it for today's episode of the show.
Hey, Wild Cody, I got,
yeah, what?
Hey, Cody, I got something. We've been really close, and you know, that's all the fans, by the way, that we've been really close to 18,000 downloads.
Every month.
Really close to every, in the last few months, we've been really close to 20,000.
Let's get there.
I say we should reward them. If we get to 20,000, we should reward them.
It is going to be December, Christmas time, so Here's the deal. If that's the case, if we can get to 20,000 downloads, obviously we made 18,200 this month of October, November. If we get that, we'll do a jersey giveaway. We'll purchase you a jersey of your choice. The player that you want, we'll purchase it, have it sent to you. One lucky listener, Lockdown Broncos. But you have to leave a review on iTunes first and foremost. Tell us, leave your Twitter handle in there. If you have already left a review on iTunes and your Twitter handle is still there, guess what? You're automatically entered into that. We'll do a drawing. We'll release the names. It'll be fun. Stay tuned for that. But we got to get to 20,000. That means anytime we post a Lockdown Broncos episode, you have to retweet, share, like, share it on your Facebook pages. The more listeners we can get it out to, the better. Great fans over there at Lockdown Broncos podcast. Appreciate all you guys. It wouldn't be what it is without you, the listener of Lockdown Broncos. We'll see you this Sunday for the post game report. Broncos, Texans, 2:25 p.m. kickoff, Broncos Stadium, Mile High. Boom.